These bandanas make it hurt. Welcome to the Breaking Down the Bytes podcast. Interested in the IT field and looking for a way to break in? Are you a college student or looking for a career change? The IT industry is booming and has tons of opportunity. It's vast, complex, and can be overwhelming, but we can help. Come along as we break down some of the barriers as your insider to the tech industry.
Hey everybody, welcome back to this week's edition of Breaking Down the Bytes. As usual, I'm your Pat host. I'm your host, Pat. You can find me on Twitter at Layer8Packet. That is the number 8. You can find Kyle, who you heard cackling in the background. He's on Twitter too, at DanF256. Alex, you're not on Twitter, but you're here. But you can contact Alex if you wish to through the show. You can find the show at Breaking Bytes Pod on Twitter as well. So it's Breaking, so it's without the G, because we were one character over the limit on Twitter. It's like, come on, Elon, fix the characters. We need one more character. So that's Breaking Bytes Pod without the G. So just if you're curious out there. So we are pretty active on Twitter, so come say hello. And if you like the show, don't forget to subscribe on your platform of choice. All of our socials are in the show notes of this episode. So go and pick one that you like and go and subscribe and come hang out. So, fellas, it's back. We are back. How you doing, Kyle? What's up, man?
Yeah, pretty good. Dealing with a little bit of crappy weather that we got today, but that's about it.
You know what? I appreciate that you're always the weatherman on this show. I always ask how you're doing, and you always give me the weather here in PA. We live 20 minutes apart.
Like, that's it.
It's like, if you got rain, I probably got rain. You know?
So, I know.
I appreciate that.
It's the only exciting thing I got going on. Looking outside.
Hey, you are in your 40s now. That's all you have to look forward to is the weather.
It's like, right.
Is it rainy out there? Oh, yeah. The weatherman said it would be foggy. He lied to me. So, Alex, what's up, man? You are in sunny Southern California, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right. My daily weather report. Went hiking today. It was low 70s. Pretty sunny.
I saw the pictures. Yeah, the wife posted some pictures. You got some good canyons out there.
Yeah. A lot of different terrain around here, and she pulled me into it. Not my first choice, but yeah,
when in Rome, right? You got to do it.
Yeah, telling her that the playoffs are on. That's apparently right. It doesn't work.
But. It used to work, not no more. So, we are back for another episode. The first episode of this kind, Alex and I did a few weeks back. We're going to try to make this a monthly thing, like we said. And we're still looking for like a catchy name for the for this episode or this segment of episodes that we're going to do every month. So I don't know if you got any ideas for our tech news episode. Like I said, one a month. If you got any cool names for it or some sort of moniker, let us know, because we don't have any names for it. So we're going to just continue to roll with tech news until we find a cool name. So, Alex, you and I did one a couple weeks back, and it was on Twitter, and that was right around the time Elon bought Twitter, and the world was on fire because he bought Twitter and all that kind of stuff. We talked tech layoffs and things of that nature, and here we are back again this week, and it was a fresh round of tech layoffs. So we're going to touch on that a little. It seems to be a theme here. So we'll touch on that a little bit again. Fresh pair of eyes on this stuff, but tech layoffs seem to be super hot again. So I don't know, Alex, you're out there in the semi-tech, big tech space. You got any insider information for the fine folks?
Insider info. Well, the only insider info I would have is on Disney. I don't think we're having any layoffs, so fingers crossed.
That's
there.
Good. Yeah.
But yes, the non-insider news, which is really the last week, has been brutal. Yeah. Like you said, we talked about it last month, and Twitter was big there. There's probably a few others that really Meta, but it seemed like we had a Christmas lull where – you know, people were just getting over that. And then this past week, we just got hit again. And some of the big players, so this is not to say that these are the only companies doing it, but I'll just throw out some of the numbers. Maybe we'll try to figure out why this is happening. It's crazy. But Google, what do we
have? Big one.
Google is, they're the ones making the most news, although they're probably not the one that's laid off the most. So if I have my numbers wrong, let me know because I lost my notes. But I think Google was 12,000 laid off. Then, then we have Amazon, which is actually the biggest one. I think we're looking at 18,000 laid off from Amazon. Microsoft, 10,000. And Salesforce announcing 7,000 layoffs. And this is maybe it bled into the last 2 weeks, but really this was just this past week of these announcements or actual executions of the threat, which is probably a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're right back to this state of uncertainty. I know it's only been a month, but like I said, maybe just the holidays kind of glanced over it, but I was starting to feel a little bit better about it. It's just like, all right, it's over.
Over the hump.
What's done is done. Yeah. Now it's back to, all right, let's move forward. Inflation rates, if you follow the stock market, it's going down a little bit. Stock market's up a little bit. So I kind of figured that meant, all right, well, maybe we're done with layoffs, but I guess not.
I guess not. Yeah, so that those are big numbers, and I'm sure that's quite a bit of the percentage of workforce. I know the 10,000, speaking of the Microsoft, the 10,000 that they're going to lay off, that's like nearly 5% of their global workforce. So that's a decent chunk, obviously. So, which I'm not quite understanding. And by far I'm no CEO or, anything of that nature, but I certainly don't pretend to be, but it just seems odd that, these places are laying off these people, but yet right before Christmas or around the Christmas holiday, there was news out there that the Pentagon, the U.S. government, was between the big, the big three, right? Google, I should say, AWS, Google, Microsoft, and Oracle. So four there. They have these big cloud contracts, through I think it was like 2028 or 2029, something like that. It could be valued as high as like $9 billion. So it's like, all right, well, they're bringing in all that, obviously not all that cash right away, but, you're getting all these contracts and then you go cut all these people. So I'm curious to see what kind of, ebb and flow that comes with. So does that mean, when the government comes calling that they're going to hire those people back? Is that like I said, is that like an ebb and flow or like, is it like an overhiring thing, right? We hired all these people for the COVID thing and now we're sort of on the other side of that. And now it's just, you have all these people with, massive contracts or salaries hanging out up there, and they're being cut. So I don't know. It's a multitude of things, and I don't know. So I don't get your thoughts on that. Is it just overhiring, or is there more to it than that? Since it does seem like they're making money. Obviously, $9 billion is nothing to sneeze at. So
yeah, it's something that I scratch my head about too. And because the thing that you mentioned about overhiring, that's the thing that I probably hear the most, or at least the reason that I hear the most. And it almost feels like if they're hiring people during COVID, because there's just this flood of people doing nothing but doing things online, doing tech stuff, because you just couldn't go outside. So, business was booming. I mean, were they thinking that we were going to live in a pandemic forever? And right? Like, what was the goal? I mean, right. If that's really, if you're just trying to ramp up for an extended pandemic, I mean, 1 year contracts employees as opposed to full-time employees now that you're laying off and giving some pretty sizable bonus packages too. That's also something that I don't really understand too. I think Google and Meta had similar severance packages. Mm-hmm. And I almost feel how much they're paying on severance packages. It's like, are they, how long do you have to, has this have to go on for before you reap the benefits? Because Google's severance package, and maybe someone can pull this up while I'm talking about it just to keep me honest, but I'm pretty sure that they're providing everybody with 16 weeks regardless of start date. So that means, mm-hmm. you know, you've been on the team 2 weeks, you're getting 16 weeks, 4 months. Right. In addition to that, they're paying 6 months worth of insurance, which is sizable. Anyone who has a family on your insurance knows that, or anyone who's tried to do Cobra as a stopgap between jobs, that's big. I mean, $2,000 a month isn't out of the realm of possibility for a family. So I mean, you're talking about another five-figure benefit. Then in addition to that, they're offering 2 weeks severance for every year that you've worked. So if you let go of a Google employee that's been around 15 years, they're getting 30 weeks on top of the 16.
Yeah.
So 46 weeks, you're almost getting a year severance just here. Not to mention you're coming from one of the, you know,
premier
biggest companies. Yeah. Should make your job hunt a little easier. Yeah. Oh, and in addition to that, anyone who's not familiar with restricted stock units, this might be a foreign topic, but a lot of these big companies, if you aren't aware, they give out stock in their company. So just to make the math easier, so you get $100,000 in stock that might take 4 years to vest, where you get 25% after year one, you get another 25% after year two, so on and so on. And they are allowing people to I think another 3 months to vest their stock, or maybe more than that. So the idea is, say you do have someone that's going to have stock, but it's not going to vest for another 2 months or something like that. They're giving you that time where, okay, even though you're not an employee, once those 2 months are up, you will still get your vested stock. It's kind of like if you had a bonus you knew that was coming to you in June and they're laying you off in April and you're like, oh, it's too much shy. No, Google's paying that out. So it's a long way of just saying I'm surprised by – they had to have known this was coming, at least I would think. And then they're doing this, which is going to, in some circumstances – in most circumstances, at least paying out 6 months. In some circumstances, paying probably a year's worth salary. And then I wouldn't be shocked if a year down the road they start hiring some of these people back. It just seems like I don't understand the financial benefits of this. I'm sure there's a CFO that thinks I'm an idiot, and honestly, I don't know what this is all about.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's a very costly mistake that they've made, and it almost feels like – did they have to go this route? Could you, man, just cut wages? I bet you a lot of these people, if you just say, hey, you just take a severance or take a 10% cut.
Yeah.
Because a 10% cut, I mean, if you're getting rid of 10% of your force, if you manage to get some people to take 10% cuts, it could really help.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just, and for those of you that aren't in the U.S., I think a lot of people get confused by this as far as like, and I guess depending on where you're at, it can be a hot topic debate of like the, you know, just, you know, firing out of the blue, just say, hey, you know, your employment is done here. A lot of people see that as unfair or, you know, whatever. You know, but I know like in the U.K., and keep me honest, for those of you that are listening in the UK, if this is right or not, but this is from my understanding that, you know, you have to give notice, you know, that you're leaving. And I don't know if the, and it's incredibly, I want to say difficult. I don't know if that's the right word or whatever to kind of get fired over there. I don't know exactly how it works, but, they see folks over here in America that these companies can just fire you at any time. You know, they see that as a bit, I don't know, archaic or whatever it is. But at the same time, it's like, all right, well, then I had the choice to give my 2 weeks notice at any time as well. So that door swings, you know, both ways sort of thing. So yeah, it just, it does seem to me that it's a bit odd. And like I said, not everyone's familiar with the laws here in the US. They can fire you at any time, for anything. It's more of like an at will, employment sort of thing. And, you know, you're in the same thing, you're in the same boat. You have the freedom to choose jobs or jump jobs, whatever you see fit. So that does go, both ways. Obviously in that space, but yeah, I just find it odd that that these big tech companies are, and obviously everything, is driving towards the cloud now. Right. So, you're getting all these big contracts from government and all this stuff. And then you go lay off, a good percentage of force of your workforce. And that's just like, well, wait a minute, that doesn't really compute. So I'm curious to see if some of those jobs will be brought back, as they start to ramp up, as these contracts go on. So we'll see. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. And like I said, as soon as all the money they spent on giving people these severances, as soon as those are up, that's when they'll hire everyone back.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And a good friend of Kyle and I's, Mike, he is a contractor for Microsoft, and he was, kind of telling, he told me about the layoffs, a couple of days ago, whatever, last week, whatever it was. But, and I'm also curious to say, okay, Microsoft's going to cut 10,000 people. So does that work then that those 10K people did, it has to be brought up. It has to be like the slack has to be brought up by somebody, like the work has to be done. So, now you're leaning on fewer people to get more done. And, then you're talking burnout and, and that sort of thing. So it's an interesting, time to see what that's going to look like in, a year, 18 months, whatever it is. So I don't know if it's, we are moving towards a recession, if they're just kind of, preparing for that, kind of keeping slim, or not. I don't know what that looks like. But I'm also curious too. I kind of just took a peek at this as well. You know what company that you don't hear a lot of layoffs from, is Apple. And I'm not the biggest Apple fan. I tend to steer clear of it because, I'm just an Android guy. It's just what I am. But, you never hear anything, or I should say as much, from Apple. I don't know if they do it right, if they size right, if they, they kind of wait and see, instead of front loading the whole boat of employees and then laying them off when people start collecting dust or whatever. But you don't really hear a whole lot about Apple. So I think that, is worth mentioning as well, as far as Apple seems to be kind of steering clear from the mass tech wave that we're seeing in today's world. So I just found that interesting as well.
Yeah. And again, like we mentioned, they say the majority of people are saying the reason that this is happening is because they just overhired. And if you just look at the difference between Apple and Google, if you're saying that Apple isn't laying off people, and I know it's not an Apple's the – wow. I was going to say Apple to Apple comparison. you know what I'm getting at.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But they actually have very similar workforces, both Google and Apple. They're last year, they were kind of roughly around, let me pull up the numbers here. Say 150,000 people, roughly, mm-hmm. give or take a 10,000 either direction. But – in 2021, so like during the recession or during the COVID, more so than anything else, the pandemic, Google hired about 30,000 people and Apple hired 10,000. Mm-hmm. So Google's laying off, 12,000 people, but they hired 20,000 people more on a similar size company. So, yeah, you could just say that Google and Microsoft were just a bit too ambitious. They grow during this state, and Apple was took a little more cautious, saying, all things have to come to an end, all good things.
Yeah, right.
So,
Yeah, it's interesting. Kyle, you have any thoughts in this space here?
I was just reading that basically something similar to what Alex was saying, that, you know, how much faster Google kind of added on workforce is compared to Apple. And they, this says Meta ballooned 94%.
Yeah.
Over, and I was like, that's crazy. That's a lot of people. Crazy.
Yeah. It is. It's a ton.
Yeah. And maybe it's lessons learned. As I said, I think anyone who's been a full-time employee and been in the workforce for 20, 30 years, they've seen recessions and they've seen layoffs, but some of these companies really haven't been around that long in the grand scheme of things. And even like these companies, Google, Meta, they weren't really around during the dot-com boom and bust, which is really the most equivalent thing we have to what we're experiencing right now. So maybe these companies are just learning firsthand that when you have this amazing boom, you got to step back and just, okay, relax. Maybe Microsoft should know better, but, Apple was around back then during the dot-com boom and bust. So maybe they just learned from experience, and Google and Meta are just taking it on the chin because this is something new and different to them. Maybe they'll learn for next time that there's this extraordinary growth that's just not long-term sustainable. But either way, anything else we want to talk about layoffs? I know that's a kind of a dark topic. No one wants to hear that too much.
No, I think that covers it. Like I said, we talked about it a few weeks ago, and it just now has a fresh round of them. Just a couple, like two or three more that I seem to see here that are kind of in the same layoff space. Not as many, but they're not as big as obviously the big tech. But Coinbase was another one for the cryptocurrency trading platform. I think they're around like 950 is what they're laying off, something like that.
Right. Yeah, but they only have about 5,000 employees. So
right.
Yeah, right. That's about 20% of their workforce. Yeah, so that's
right. That's a big chunk. Yep. Yeah. So Coinbase is kind of going through a rough one, and then Vox Media is another one laying off. I don't see a number here, but it says it's around 7% of their workforce. So, yeah, I'm curious to see what these big media conglomerates do during this sort of race towards recession. And this could be another topic for another day, but it seems to be that the legacy, quote unquote, legacy media is not doing so well in today's information age. You know, when they can, and I know Vox is a big, is a big part of that, that legacy media. So I'm curious to see if that trend continues to, some of the bigger media platforms, the legacy stuff, kind of shed their weight. Because they're not as big as they once were, or had as much influence as they once did. As obviously the online stuff has kind of exploded, and content creation, things of that nature. So just those two to mention there as far as the layoff stuff. But just some interesting stuff, and who knows? Maybe next month. Let's hope we're not talking about tech layoffs again.
if there's any gamers that listen, it looks like Unity eliminated 284 jobs.
Yeah.
They make, video game engines, stuff like that.
Oh, look at that. See, I was not aware of that. See, that's good knowledge right there. Good knowledge. By the way, Alex, my brother got a PS5 just before Christmas, so now he's very happy playing all that kind of stuff with that. So now I'm like, I can't let him outscore me. I got to get a PS5. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's still kind of – it's not straightforward to get one.
Crazy.
I feel like
– come on, man. Pull some strings, man. I know you know people. Let's go.
I do know some people. I know a few guys that got them at PlayStation and aren't gamers. I wonder if they're just come on.
Sitting in a box. Yeah. Your kids have one, right? Or are they the four?
Well, if people don't know, I have three sons, so it's a house full of gamers. No, so I have three PS4s. They each have their own PlayStation 4. I have the PlayStation 5. That's my system.
That's right. Can't let the gold go that easy, right? You gotta hold on to that, baby.
That's right.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, moving on. The other thing we wanted to talk about too, and I'm generally interested in this, and I don't know how else
you
how
love other this. People are.
I know it's coming. I don't know. It's just I'm interested to see where this goes or whatnot. So, most of you have heard by now the Chat GPT AI has sort of taken the world by storm, and basically you can go and have it do whatever you want, and it's all AI driven and that sort of thing. Fun note. I actually said, hey, make me topics for an IT podcast. And it actually spit back most of the things that we've talked about here on the show. So I'm like, you know what? I'm better than AI at the moment. The human brain is still better than AI. So I think, Kyle, I think I sent you a couple of those too. And it's like,
talked about that. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Talked about that. So no, I'm just curious in the AI aspect of it. As far as what this means, and I know, I think I heard something. I don't know, was it Microsoft or somebody was sort of looking at Chat GPT. I want to say it was Microsoft. I think or somebody was a partnership or something that they were kind of using it, and I think they were gonna I heard it's crazy, kind of just spitballing that they were going to implement Chat GPT into their Bing search engine and stuff. And I'm like, somebody still use Bing? Like, what are we doing here? that's interesting to see where that goes in the next couple of years. So I don't know. I'll get your guys' thoughts on that. Kyle, do you use it at all? Or have you heard of it before I kind of spewed my nonsense at you the other night?
My buddy kind of hit me up with it when he first found it, a couple weeks ago or whatever. And we're just like, just ask me some questions, you ever program anything? Like, give me some things that you've done or programmed, and, spitball some things at him. And, I mean, it's not perfect, but it's pretty close. It's definitely in the ballpark. It's kind of scary.
Pretty close. That's interesting to see.
So what are the most interesting ways do you think tech like this will be used in the next year or two? Or what's the scariest thing?
Some Skynet shit or something.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Start talking weird languages that nobody understands. It's like, oh, let's unplug this real quick.
Since it supports some programming languages and stuff like that, that's kind of wild because you could just kind of get right into it. I mean, it might be one of those fake until you make it kind of things, you know, you're just like, oh yeah, I could do that. You know, just throw it into Chat GPT and be like, here you go. It's my work. Yeah. Or, I guess school papers, academics and stuff like that.
I was just going to say that.
Been hearing murmurs about that. Like, well, how do you know if it's a student's work or, you know, Chat GPT now, you're like, how are you supposed to figure it out?
Yeah. And just original works, that's interesting to think of because it uses examples. The more examples it has of what type of thing you want it to write out, it'll create it. So I'm just thinking of like a really well-published author like Stephen King that has hundreds of books. If you feed that every example of everything he's ever written and then just say write a book and give it a few topics, could it do it? I mean, could it get to the point where it could just start pumping out books? And, could it take the script from Friends? You know, it's got like 100 episodes and write an episode of Friends. that's probably well down the road. One thing I saw that was an interesting and probably a pretty straightforward implementation of it was using it on non-playable characters in video games just to make it seem like they're having realistic conversations.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't impact the game, but you want it to feel more realistic, more random. You can have environments where people are having conversations based on just giving NPCs topics to talk about. And I was just thinking about how that could be a dynamic universe too, to say the metaverse, and how that could be so subliminal in advertising too. Like, you imagine you're just like, all right, I want to start pushing football because Super Bowl's coming up here, and you can just have NPCs and like some large game that you're playing start randomly talking about it.
Yeah.
Because the GPT engine, I think everyone focuses on languages, but I think it also has a like pictures. It has some type of image generators as well. So I think you could do that too with dynamic billboards based on just examples of other type of, you know, billboards and advertisements you've done before. And then again, you kind of just nudge it in the direction you want it to go and just have it go and maybe yeah. surprised by what it can do.
That's interesting.
So yeah. it's you know, like you said, it's scary. It is definitely making a lot more news lately. And it's really one of the first things that I've seen in a while that have made me like really go, wow, we really are.
Yeah.
In the future, we're starting to hit on some of the things that sci-fi movies towards, mentioned in the 80s.
Yeah, we're zooming towards the Star Trek world. Yeah. Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens there. And apparently, there's talks about for those of you that don't know, ChatGPT is owned by OpenAI, and they're discussing charging for it in the next near future. So I don't know what it's monetized for, or what that looks like to get a subscription or whatever. But it may be charging here the next couple of weeks to get that poem you want written for school. You never know. We'll see what happens. But that's very interesting to see how that works. Maybe you could write me a Python script and make my job easier so I don't have to. So
there you go.
Here come the layoffs if that starts happening.
Yeah. Exactly. No, that's a good segue. Like, how does that affect the tech world going forward with this AI? Because I would imagine that most of your chatbots obviously are all AI. There's not a human there, right? You know, you pop on the website and say, hey, how can we help you, right? That's all AI, you know, driven, at least to a certain extent. So does it go beyond that? Does it, how do they implement that from the back end side of it? Is it taking people's jobs at some point? Or I'm curious to see what that looks like.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's in its infancy, and I could see it maybe doing that to some degree. If this reaches even the potential that some people are talking about in the next 5 years, I think it's going to be just the stuff that we thought would be impossible to have done by machines, you know, because the creative side of things. Yeah, because everyone is thinking, well, there's always the human side of writing a novel or making a movie or painting something. Because if it's not a human doing it, then it's really just, it's a machine that's picked something else and maybe spliced it together with a few other things. But the idea that these things can make what seems like original artwork, at least to human eye, it's just, it's just a whole wave now. Creative jobs that could be replaced.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I'm gonna see if they can write a program for me to communicate with aliens. Let's start there.
Pat, you love your aliens.
I do. I can't.
You're always.
I'm like you with aliens, like you are with the weather.
Oh, I love the weather. Yeah. Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I don't even like the weather. It's just every time you ask me, it's the only thing I can think of.
You're such an old man. I can't.
Don't touch the thermostat.
Actually, are we running late for you? You got to go to bed there, Charlie.
No, I had an insure a little bit ago. Be all right.
Okay. You got your warm socks on, so your feet aren't cold. Oh man, yes. Yeah, so I'm curious to see what ChatGPT does in the next couple of years to see if this actually takes off, or if it's more flash in the pan, or what that. what that actually, you know, looks like. But I did want to mention from an automation perspective in AI, there is a McDonald's, I believe it's in Texas, that is fully automated, like a fully automated restaurant. Like there's no human at all inside, like everything from ordering to literally paying to literally like robotic arms handing you your food. Like it is fully automated from that perspective. So I think that's kind of neat from that perspective. You know, retrackers will say it's taking people's jobs, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm curious to see what that if companies start to kind of, you know, roll in that direction as far as, you know, going, you know, fully automated. I think that's a double-edged sword, but yeah, it has some good, but it definitely has some bad as well. So I'm curious to see where that goes in the future as well. But I believe it's in Texas, but it is definitely fully automated for sure. Like there's no, I want to say there's no human.
At the very least, it's replacing several of the.
Yeah, correct. Mostly non-human, it says. So I don't know what not. I don't know by right. what not. You know, mostly non-human means, but it's, you know, it's not fully automated, but it, you know, it replaced more people than not. So it's an interesting concept that, yeah, that's. But there's a video out here of like, you know, from the drive-thru window, like the door opens by itself. The McDonald's bag is in a, you know, is in a. Like a tray kind of thing, and the tray extends to your car. You get it off the tray and you drive away, you know, that kind of thing. So that's curious to see what that looks like in the next couple of years as well, as these companies start to automate and you know, go in that direction. So I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that, or wrap that one up or whatever.
I'll just bring up the Amazon Go stores, because those are in existence today, especially in large cities. The idea where you go in there and there's no cashiers. You just pick what you want, and you walk through the doors, and it's scanning you as an Amazon employee with like you know, credit cards attached to your Amazon account. And then when you leave, it's scanning all the devices that. And I don't mean you actually put this through a scanner like you do at a grocery store. You just walk through it, and it's picking out which devices you just ordered.
Right. Now, how does that work then? Does it actually scan it like? Like when you pick it off the shelf, or at the actual threshold of the door? I'm curious how that works.
Yeah, I probably should. There's several near where I live, and I don't. Oh, I've never actually used one.
Well, get there.
Yeah, I think it's next week's episode.
Amazon Go for suckers. That's the next title.
It's good news and bad news. It's just like it's a. Yeah, the good news or the bad news is it doesn't work as well as you think it does. The good news is $2,000 worth of free Amazon stuff.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and I realized that I didn't actually go to an Amazon Go store.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that happens. Like when you, if you take it off the shelf, does it actually like ping you like? There and charge you, or does it actually charge you at the actual door? To see what happens. So if anybody's used Amazon Go before, let us know. Hit us up, and because I'm kind of dying to know. That's interesting to me. So we'll see.
I would think though, if Burger King goes automated, you know,
yeah,
I hope they put that, like you order a fry and they drop that one onion ring in there.
Oh yeah!
Like I hope that maybe it's random, it's a glitch or something. You know, like that. That was always a treat.
That's a freebie right there.
Yeah, right.
As an 8-year-old, you're like, I really want onion rings, but I can't get away from the fries. And you're like, ooh, look, an onion ring. Yes.
Yep.
Best of both worlds. That's what's.
Yep.
No, that's cool. Yeah, so I'm generally interested to see how that works as far as an Amazon goes. I don't, Kyle. I don't think we have one around here. At least not that I've heard of.
I don't think so. I mean, if we do, I'd like to go check it out. We could do like a field trip or something. That's
right. A live podcast from aisle 4 of the Amazon store. Look, I'm in the spaghetti sauce and noodle section. Alex, I'm sending you a steak right now. no, that's cool. Yeah, I'm generally interested to see how that works. So, anything else on that, Kyle?
No, I think that's about it.
Cool.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that does seem pretty cool. So I'm curious to see, you know, in some ways I find it interesting that, you know, like back in the like early 90s, we're like, oh, you know what? We get to 2023, we're going to have flying cars. Yeah, and now we're not even close. We're just like, oh, here's, you know, whatever. You know, and then in some instances you're like, wow, you're literally living better than like 99% of humans in all of history. You're living better than them right now at this time. You're like, that's kind of cool. You know, it's like you take the good with the bad, right? Just is what it is. I'm interested to see what happens in the next couple of years with all of this AI stuff. And then you got Elon doing the Tesla thing. And as electric cars get a little, I should say, a lot more popular, flying off the shelves due to various factors. It's curious to see what happens there. But I heard Elon's coming out with, Tesla's coming out with a electric truck. Is that right? I don't know if that.
Well, they have been for a while.
Is that, yeah, looks like a tank. Is it out there now? Okay. Mm. Look at that. Oh, the Cybertruck. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Think of the name. The Cybertruck. Sounds cool. That sounds up my alley. Oh, it does look like a tank. Holy. That is wild. Oh, the exoskeleton. Holy. That's cool. Anyway, that's another show. That's another topic for another day. We'll see here. Just like tidbits. Kind of, I don't want to say smaller stories, but just a couple things that I found off the waiver wire. For those of you that like Netflix, Reed Hastings, which is the CEO of Netflix, he is stepping down, from my understanding. It seems to me that Netflix has not been doing so well the last couple of years. I think a couple different things, some of their content and you know, of course, they blame it on the password sharing and, you know, all those, you know, more eyes for, you know, not as much money sort of thing. So, but I would think every streaming platform has that problem. But that's a interesting way of putting it. I guess he's been there more than like 2 decades at the company.
Oh, yeah.
He's really,
he was one of the original guys.
Yeah.
Well, he was one of the two founders.
Yeah. Right. So he's really been there through a lot of their success. So you got to, you know, tip your hat to him and, see who fills the shoes there. I guess, I don't know. Did they mention who's filling the shoes at all? I don't know if they did or not. So, we may have to wait for that. So see what happens.
I'm not sure. Ted Sarandos, he's the other guy that I think started it. And I think he's still on. So I think they're like, are they like co-CEO or something? Like, is that a thing?
Tag teaming it. Yeah. I don't know. it says here they're promoting COO Greg Peters to the tandem role with Ted.
No, so it was a tandem role. Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, I have a cousin named Ted Peters, but it's not that Ted Peters. Ted Peters. Yeah. Greg Peters. I have a cousin named Greg Peters, but he's not that Greg Peters. So I wish he was.
They were actually doing really well since their last earnings.
Okay.
And because they just had earnings this past week, and they really surpassed subscriber numbers expectations. Like they added something like 7 million and some change.
Cool.
Industries were expecting 4 million. Now, launching the ad tier. So seems things are doing pretty well with Netflix as of late, but even so, there's actually a rumor that maybe he could end up being Disney's next CEO. That was just a little tiny rumor that probably doesn't have any basis. But the idea that, you know, Disney's all in with all Disney streaming media. Yeah. Obviously, this is the king of streaming, this guy. And our current CEO is pretty much like an interim CEO. 2-year contract.
Yeah. Right.
His big goal in the next 2 years is finding a long-term replacement. Yeah. So anyway, that's been mentioned.
Your CEO that came back, is that Bob Iger?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It was so a previous CEO, retired. Right. Okay. Yeah. Disney's had some rough year or two.
Yeah.
Under the interim CEO. And yeah, when it comes down to money and stock price, someone has to pay. That's I guess
he now was Bob's the one back.
Nope. And our previous one was Bob too. So yeah, we just another Bob is back.
Gotcha. Yep. Yeah. So I have a Netflix account. I don't really watch it all that often. Like I watch Netflix for the comedy specials that are on there. Mm. So like I know like Bill Burr has one on there and Michelle Wolf has one on there. A bunch of actually, I think Chris Rock has his new one coming out. In March, so I'm curious about that one. But the actual series I actually watch is Wednesday from the Adams Family.
That was a huge hit.
Loved it. I loved it. If you guys have not seen it, I highly recommend Wednesday on Netflix. It's a really cool twist. So that's some cool stuff there for Adams Family fans.
Yeah, I don't know what the reason is for that too, because I kind of felt like if you would have asked 5 years ago. Talking about streaming, I would just say I could never see a situation where I'd consider getting rid of Netflix. And at this point, I could probably do it. It wouldn't bother me much. It's probably if you talk about the three or four major ones, it's probably the one I use the least.
Yep, me too.
And I know I'm biased, but I use Hulu is by far the one I use the most at this point.
Really? That's interesting. Yeah.
I don't know if it's just because it has TV shows from all these different, you know, it's not just original content. So that's just so consistent in stuff that it has. But yeah, that's the one that I use the most by far.
Yeah, it's interesting. My TV is constantly on Disney Plus because of the kids. That's why I love Disney Plus. So when I get TV time, it's like 9 o'clock at night when everyone goes to bed and I have like a half hour until my eyes like completely like shut down on me and, you know, I fall asleep. But, I probably have too many, to be honest with you. I probably have one too many, maybe even two too many that I pay for that I probably, it's like, you probably could, you know, do without. But, I don't find myself tuning to Netflix all that often just because there's just not a whole lot there. I'm more of like a document. Like a docuseries or History Channel, Discovery, those types of shows. I'm all in on those. But the one series I did like, besides Wednesday, on Netflix was The Queen's Gambit. I really liked that one too.
That was good.
Really good. And just because I'm a nerd and it's chess related, so it's like, that's kind of cool. Like I can play chess. I'm not good at it at all, but I understand the game and can play. But it works my brain a little too hard. But I did like the Queen's Gambit was a really well done series. I wish they would come back with another series on that, or at least another season, because that was awesome. But those two for sure, Wednesday and The Queen's Gambit for Netflix for me.
Right. Yeah, and then shows like that kind of go to show you the power that these streaming giants have.
Yep.
Because I remember reading when The Queen's Gambit came out, like how astronomically the sales of chessboards went up.
Oh, really?
Across like Amazon's platform.
I believe it.
That makes sense.
It was so much. And the same with like Kate Bush's song when it was in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
She rocketed to like the top of the charts because it was played. It was commonly played in the last season of Stranger Things. And it's amazing that
stuff like that can hit for sure. Yeah, for sure. I'm also curious. So fun fact, our main office in Malvern, Pennsylvania, in our CISO's office, there is a chessboard, and he welcomes anybody to come play him in chess at any time. So I've walked past it a bunch of times. I'm just like, man, should I go in there? But then like I like poke my head in, and he's not there. I'm like, oh, all right, good. I'm off the hook again. Like, I hope I'm not made an idiot. But there is a chessboard in his office. So maybe one of these days I will get the guts to walk in there and play some chess with him. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But, Queen's Gambit, Wednesday for the Netflix folks out there. And then obviously the comedy stuff, because I'm into the comedy things as well. There was something else I wanted to mention too, and I can't remember what it was based off of that, the streaming stuff. Oh, do you guys feel like there is too many streaming platforms now? Like everybody sort of has their hand in that pot. Because I know for a while there, like maybe, I don't know, a couple years ago, people were really like ditching cable because it was like, oh, well, I can get Netflix for whatever, or I could get Hulu for whatever. And it was generally cheaper than these astronomical cable packages that these, you know, that are out there now. But now, do you guys think that the streaming market is semi flooded with that you're now almost paying as much as you would from a cable bill perspective? And you got to think about internet too, is packaged in there as well. You got to count both, right? Because you need one to get the other. Is there too many out there, and are you really saving anything at this point because everyone has one?
I feel like I'm still saving money, but it's getting close to the point where
because
I have them all. Netflix, Apple, Hulu, Disney Plus, Paramount.
Yeah.
I'm probably missing one.
Paramount for Yellowstone. Hell yeah.
Shout Peacock.
Peacock's another. I got Peacock too. I'm like, Jesus.
So Discovery I didn't
Plus,
have them all up.
I got Discovery Plus. Cause
I don't have like Discovery Plus.
So, that's pretty good, yeah.
I think it goes back to what everyone was used to say when they were stuck with cable. It's like, I wish I could just pay for the channels I want.
Right.
Well, now I kind of wish that they would just stick to the giants. Like at this point, come on, guys. Disney, Netflix, Amazon, and Apple. I'll leave them. They won.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Just those now. Now, and Prime does this a lot where I know they give you the option to then subscribe to individual channels within the Amazon app.
Yep.
So my wife's a sucker for British Telecom. Just any British shows, she loves them all. So we subscribe to BBC through Amazon, which is $3 a month. Nice. So if I get to the point where I wish they would go to that model, because I think if I get those four giants, you're probably paying like probably $50 for the four of them, and then you just toss in a few other channels. I think I can finally get every channel I ever want for less than $75, which was still less than what I was paying for cable, and then I'd be okay with it.
Yeah. I find that interesting that everybody's like, oh yeah, because I, you know, when I worked at the cable company in, you know, 2003 to 2010, like that was the big thing. Like people would call up, and I'd be in tech support, and you know, they'd call up and they say, hey, you know, my internet's broken or whatever. And then the side conversations would go and they would say, hey, is there any way that I could just pay for what I want? And it's just like, no, the way the contracts work and blah, 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 that sort of thing. And everybody was like, oh, yeah, look at this streaming. You cut the middleman out. Well, yeah, that's great. But like what they didn't understand is like the cable companies were subsidizing a lot of that cost to bring those channels to you. And now, you know what I mean? And now you're actually paying for it. And now because you're a la carte everything, that's where you're now seeing, oh shit, I'm almost paying what I paid for cable, right? Because like this was the argument that they had. It's like, okay, look, okay, if you only watch whatever, news, you know, ABC, let's say ABC, or you know, whatever, CNN, Fox News, whatever, could I pay just for that? Well, all right, well, do you like ESPN? Well, they go, yeah, I like that. I'm like, okay, well, then here's the way it works. When these contracts go up, when these cable companies go to battle for these contracts, they go, okay, or I should say, and I'll use ESPN as an example because Disney owns ESPN and ABC. They'll say, okay, look, we'll give you ESPN for, I don't know, just make it round numbers, 10 cents a subscriber. But if you take ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, and whatever, you'll get the price for 6 cents a subscriber. So, you know what I mean? Like, so it's more of a bundle thing. And so you don't really see that behind the scenes. All you're seeing is, okay, look, you're getting the channels you know, that you asked for, but they're in a bundle because of the contracts that they work. But now that the bundle's out of it, because now basically you're getting it directly from the source, you're not going through a middleman like cable, you're getting charged the actual price that, you know what I mean? Like you're getting charged higher because it is an a la carte thing. And you're almost at the point now where it's like, all right, well, maybe I can go back to cable and get, you know, get a lot of cool more channels for, you know, just as much money. So that was the argument a couple of years ago of like, okay, can I get just what I want? And the answer was no, because it's you know, it's the way they're bundled, and it's just, that's the way the business works. So whether that's good or bad, I'm just curious, do we have too many now? There was a lot of people, a lot of these companies got on the bandwagon and say, look, we can go directly to these people and get around the cable companies. But now these people are now paying, you know, 18 for Netflix or whatever it is, right? And just say, you know, it's like, okay, it's one, you know, it's one streaming service, but you get a bunch in there. But, you know, are you really saving anything at the end of the day? So I guess that I'd want to throw that out there.
All right. Yeah, and I'll just go back to what I said earlier. I think at this point, it's still cheaper. It's pretty much streaming giant, or not even the giants. You can get the top 10 streamings networks
I haven't had cable for 10 years. So right. I cut it early, like way early. It's like, you know, after I left Service Electric, I was like, all right, I don't want cable anymore. That was it. I'm done. Just give me internet. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I think I'm 5 years into cutting the cable. So I think I'm one of the, because at this point, more people don't have cable than do, like our generation, I would think.
right.
That's interesting. And even I think I was kind of late to the party for cutting the cable. And yeah, I still remember the reason that I decided, okay, it's time to cut the cable, is we were having a get together and I had to move like my cable box, my set top box, whatever you want to call it, from my living room down to like the basement where everyone was hanging out, because I had a pool table down there. And so I brought it down there to watch TV. And this was for like the holidays. And then I remember wanting to watch TV one day, like actual cable TV, and then realizing myself, oh, well, the set-top box is still in the basement. And this was in April. So I was like, oh, it's been 4 months. I think it's about time for me to go. I didn't even realize it was still down there.
That's awesome.
It's like, all right, time to cut cable. Yeah.
That's it. Time to get out of here. So that's it. Actually, speaking of getting out of here, I think that was it. So, any thoughts on the Super Bowl coming up there, Alex? I know and your guys are out of it, and I don't know. Is it illegal for you to root for the Chiefs because you guys are such rivals with the Raiders?
Oh man, yeah. At this point, I can take the high road and say I'm rooting for good football, but
yeah.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see an NFC team win.
Yeah.
That's what I'm rooting for. NFC.
There you go.
I don't care who it is.
There you go. I'm all curious there too, because again, you know, I don't know, for those that follow NFL here in the States, if you're a sports fan, you always see that, you know, the next gen stats, right, powered by AWS, and they show you all kinds of crazy launch angles and yards the actual football was thrown, and catch angle, and all kinds of crazy stuff. I'm curious to see what this year's Super Bowl looks like as far as that that tech goes, and see what kind of mustings they have for us football nerds going forward.
Oh yeah, so there's
I'm
some
curious for that.
It's probably something we should have spent more time talking about rather than what shows we like on Netflix. But yeah, there are some interesting ones. Again, anyone who's kind of familiar with football understands the idea of the QB ratings and QBR.
Yep.
They're actually, but it's really specific to even the old quarterback rating, the one where it tops out at 158.3 or something like that is like a perfect quarterback rating. But it's a very simplistic formula. There's websites you can go into and you just plug in a few numbers, like, you know, passes thrown, passes completed, touchdowns, interceptions. It's very few variables. But what I'm getting at is with these new analytics, they're using analytics and machine learning to actually present a more accurate quarterback rating. It's not something they'll ever be able to put in the, or at least not anytime soon, in the record books as fact. But what they're trying to do is pull all these stats you can never think of, just like QB throwing off his back foot, or QB taking a check down when he had 120 yards open, one take unnecessarily difficult throw. So even though he completed it, is it really, did he make the right choice doing that, et cetera, et cetera? Or, you know, dropped interceptions, which aren't counted at all right now. But it's supposed to take all this information and actually give you how well the quarterback played, given all these analytics. So that's something that I think is going to be in this year's Super Bowl, where it's going to be pulling all these stats we've never heard of to actually tell you who's played best.
Cool.
So that'll be interesting to see that.
I'm here for it. I love all that stuff.
Yeah. That's more job security for tech folks.
That's right. That's right. Learn AI. All right. Yeah. Anything else, you guys? So get out of here. We're right around that hour mark. So anything else? Kyle, you good?
Yeah, you guys lost me at sports talk.
Oh, see? Yeah. He like went up, got a drink, whatever.
Well, yeah. Well, the other topic I was thinking about bringing up today, but I realize we're close to an hour anyway, so maybe we can touch on it next week, was it's something that is certainly in my mind because it's a Disney initiative, but the going back to work versus full-time remote, maybe we had an episode on that before me, but I think it's getting real now.
Yeah.
There's some real... like go back to the office. So, cause I mean, obviously there's Twitter. Everyone's familiar with Twitter. Yeah. I was shocked by Disney CEO last week, his note to employees, like the email that we all got telling us come in 4 days a week. That was front page Yahoo News within an hour. He's demanding people going to the office 4 days a week. And
it's crazy.
Starbucks just did it. So the Starbucks, like, the corporate back end stuff, people that wouldn't have to be in the office.
Yeah, right.
They're going back to the office. And so now we have, you know, three companies now. I'm just waiting for one of these other giants to announce it before everyone starts realizing, like, oh man, okay, we're back to 2018.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I put that on the list. So maybe we can talk about that. Next week, or at least give it a little more time than it, you know, that it deserves for sure. That'd be interesting to see.
All right, sounds good.
So, yeah, that's all it. Right. So yeah, we'll wrap it up here. So I want to thank everybody for joining this week in the new episode here. Make sure you visit our website, breakingbytespod.io. Subscribe to the show on the many platforms there. There's links to all of the big ones. So iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or pretty much anywhere, really. You just need an RSS feed. There's one there as well. If you throw us a rating on iTunes, that'd be awesome. Most of you folks listen from iTunes. That's what our stats tell us. So you're already there. Throw us a rating on there. Leave us a review. That'd be awesome, too. That fools with the algorithms and gets more eyeballs on us from an Apple Podcast perspective. So simply tell a friend, right? That works just as well. That would be great. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Discord server, our survey, our feedback survey is still out there. So all that stuff's in the show notes of the episode. So go ahead and hang over there. I should say head over there. And that's going to be it, guys. It was awesome as usual. We'll talk to everybody next week. See you, everybody.
So long.
See you guys.